Yesterday, I told you about Anya Kyo Jinyo. Ajanyata Kauntiana, Kauntiana, Ajanyana, Ajanyata Kauntiana, Anna Kyojinya. And he is one of the five Arya's disciple of Buddha. As I told you, when Buddha gave up practice of asceticism, they went to Deer Park and they practiced, continued asceticism at Deer Park. And after he and Buddha attained enlightenment, he came to Deer Park. And Buddha at that time told about Four Noble Truths and Dana Prajna Paramita and Sila Prajna Paramita and he said if you practice Sila Paramita you will have good future life instead of saying you will attain enlightenment. means that at that time he still applied when he tell his own teaching, he applied some religious understanding of common people in India at that time. According to Buddhism, we practice precepts not because to have a good future life, but because we attain enlightenment in this life. This is actual Buddha's teaching. I think it is necessary. It is better for us to study more about what he told here about Four Noble Truths and 8 holy paths. Four Noble Truths are one is teaching that this world is full of suffering. This is one, suffering and cause of suffering and way to attain liberation from suffering and Nibbana. That was Four Noble Truths. According to Buddha's teaching, this world is full of suffering. But in Mahayana teaching, which developed from this Four Noble Truths or Eight Holy Paths, this world is the world of the world where we find renunciation or Nibbana. Within itself, this is Mahayana teaching. So according to Mahayana, this world is not the world of suffering. But according to Hinayana, according to the teaching which Buddha told for the first time to the five disciples, this world is full of suffering. Actually, this world is full of suffering. And suffering and our life is co-existent, you know, where there is life, there is suffering. And suffering and life is synonymous. And this teaching is very important because when you think you have no problem, that is the biggest problem. You know, if at first, you know, someone who has at first you may have stomachache, but when your stomach is pretty bad, worse, you have no ache. So that you have suffering is good, but that you have no suffering is more serious. So as long as you have problem, you have pretty good student, promising student. And if you have no suffering, you are hopeless. So, first of all, Buddha, you say you have no suffering, but that is suffering. That is the great problem. In this way, he started his teaching.
And Rashi, what do you mean by suffering? How would you understand?
Suffering and various problems. No, suffering. He explained further more about it. To live in this world, when we live in this world, we have, when you came to this world for the first time, that was suffering. When you come out, you know, from narrow place, you had great suffering. That is one. And you will become more older and older, like me. That is suffering too. And you will have sick, you know, sickness. That is suffering. And you will die. That is suffering. So when you appear, when you come to this world, you have already, you know, very good future to die, to have some sick and to become old. So he said, you have this world, human life is a life of suffering.
If we have suffering and problems and are able to feel some confidence that we can take it, is that still hopeless? Because then it doesn't seem to be quite so much of a problem anymore. When it seems that I can't take it, then it seems like an insurmountable problem.
Yeah. And he, you know, this is four suffering. And we count eight, four more. The next one is, you will meet someone, or you will leave, you have to leave someone who you do not like. And you will be separated, you know, from someone who like you, who you like very much, who you love. It looks like very true. You cannot leave, you know, someone who you love the most. And you will meet someone. You will meet or you have to leave someone who you do not like. And you will have that you have five skandhas. You know, it's already suffering. That you have eyes, that you have nose, that you have mouth, that you have ears, and that you can think, that you can feel, and that you can some idea, you can have some idea, that you can know who is Buddha, it is already suffering. What do you think? Just a minute. And, you know, you cannot get what you want. This is also true. Because, so, and in one word, why we suffer is, this is more developed or advanced thought or more conclusive understanding. But in short, we care for some substantial concrete things rather than when everything is changing. You know, everything is changing. But we care for something. We do not like everything changing. We want them to be more substantial and concrete. That is the cause of suffering. So, suffering is coexistent with our human life. That is the first teaching, he told us, he told to the five disciples. Pretty strong teaching, you know. And you cannot deny it. It is very true. And no one can help you, you know. Because as long as we care for something concrete, something substantial, something more materialistic, when in reality everything is changing, including ourselves. So in this sense we cannot rely on even ourselves. But still he says, you should, only thing you can rely on is you. You exist right now. This is more advanced, you know, way of explaining, but Buddha said, you cannot. You should rely on yourself. That is only one thing you can rely on. But anyway, first teaching is that this world is full of suffering. And next teaching is cause of suffering. Cause of suffering is, what is the cause of suffering? The cause of suffering is self-centered idea. Well, self. Which thinks everything is constant. And including ourselves. Everything is constant. And everything is enjoyable. And everything has self-nature. And everything is substantial. When that is, you know, the cause of suffering, because of this kind of understanding, or because of those elements, because of this kind of understanding, which are those four elements, we suffer. Cause of suffering. And how to get out of it is the way to attain renunciation. And this is also third teaching. And the second one, cause of suffering, and that we have suffering is the relationship between two teachings. Is one is cause and one is effect. That we have suffering here is effect. and causes, reason why we suffer is that we have in our mind the four elements of perpetuality, eternity, and element of enjoyment, and element of self, and element of substantiality. We suffer. That is cause of suffering. So here he has, you know, teaching of cause and effect. This is cause and this is effect. Effect is suffering. The cause is the four elements, which consists of which our mind is consists. This is his teaching. And when the what is Nibbana? Nibbana is well attained when we know this cause and effect. How suffering is caused and what is the reason of suffering, then we will be free from suffering. And that is the Buddha's teaching for noble truth.
Roshi?
Hi.
Which one of these is the Eightfold Noble Path?
Eightfold Noble Path is, you know, the when we explain the how to attain Nibbana. That is the first, the third.
Third one.
Third one. The first one is suffering and cause of suffering. And way to, you know, attain renunciation and Nibbana. So eight holy paths is the third one. And the first one of the eight holy paths is right view. Right view is to know the cause and the effect, to have perfect understanding between cause and effect, how suffering is caused, and what kind of cause we have for result for the suffering. That is right view, to see things as it is. When we see things as it is, we will know that how we create suffering for ourselves. Uses. If you see things as it is, you know, nothing is constant. Everything is changing. And so everything has no self nature. So you cannot enjoy your life, you know. as you thought, as you expected. You expected our life to be very enjoyable. But actually, everything changed. Oh my. That was not true, you may say. So, when you see things as it is, you know, you have to change your understanding of this life completely. But when you change your understanding of life completely, that is Nibbana. There's no problem. And to attain Nibbana, how to attain Nibbana is the eight holy paths. Starting from right view, right understanding of our life. It means to understand our, to have right understanding is to know cause and effect. What is the cause of the suffering? And what is suffering? So, starting from right view, we should see things as it is. So, in Mahayana practice, Dharma practice, the six Mahayana Bodhisattva had six practice. One is Dharma Prajnaparamita, to give things, material and teaching, to help people. Dharma Prajnaparamita, and precepts Prajnaparamita. And to be patient, to wait, you know, not to limiting ourselves, but to extend our practice to two directions, past and future. So we, so that is why we say, you know, our desires are sentient beings are in you. Our desires are exhausted. You know, when we extend our practice, you know, there is that is practice of patience and practice of constant effort, and this practice should be extended in two ways. And wisdom, to have wisdom and to have good meditation, that is Bodhisattva, six practice. And here, in, you know, in Buddha's first teaching, when he told eight noble truths, the first one was the right view. A right view is equivalent teaching to the right almsgiving, right giving. You know, if you want to help people by giving some teaching or material, you should know whether he wanted or not. And you should know what is the most appropriate thing for him to give. And what is the right time, you know, to give. This is also right view. And this is also right view. And if you want to give something, you should not give just, you know, as you give some candy to a dog. Even a dog, if he doesn't want it, he will not take it. So, when Buddha told this kind of teaching to his disciple, his teaching looks like more negative. But what he really meant by his teaching was more hard. The other side, which is Mahayana, Mahayana-like side. And when Mahayana teachers became proud of his way of understanding of Buddha's teaching, when they become proud of they had they took some pride in their understanding, discriminating Hinayana. You're saying that is Hinayana. That is not, according to great teachers, it is not true Mahayana, true Buddhism. True Buddhism should not be like that. True Buddhism should understand two ways, right view and right view, which was taught by Buddha, or which was understood by his direct disciples of Buddha, and the teaching of Mahayana, or practice of Mahayana, to give and to help others. It's same thing, same quality, not different teaching at all. When we understand Buddha's teaching from two sides, as Buddha's disciple understood Buddha, and as Mahayana teachers understood his teaching, then that is true teaching of Buddha. That is true if there is, if Mahayana teaching is a very best teaching. Mahayana teaching should be that kind of teaching. Not the kind of teaching which discriminates Hinayana or Mahayana. So, actually, those teaching is not only Hinayana teaching, but also Mahayana teaching. Mm. And he told at that time, and here is some interesting, you know, two kinds of version of the same in some other, some scripture. When one of the, when Buddha told his teaching for the first time to the, for the five disciples, Asaj, here, in Lotus Sutra, Asparjite, I couldn't figure it out, but this is mostly spelled by A-S-S-A-J-I, instead of A-S-V-A-J-I-T, Asaj. Yesterday, I told you that Shariputra when Shariputra was in Raja Griha, he was born in near Raja Griha, Oshajo in Japanese. And he, when Buddha came to Raja Griha, with five disciples, and at that time, perhaps he had more disciples, and like at that time, his family became his disciple, his son, his wife, and his mother-in-law, and his aunt. All fast. Compared to Buddha's disciple. And some more famous teachers, you know, compared to Buddhism. I compared and joined his order. And when Sariputra saw him as a quite different, you know, person, he is not a usual one. And Sariputra was wise enough to see through, you know. He thought he must have a good teacher. When he behaved like that as a quite young man. So he asked him, who is your teacher? And my teacher is Buddha, the Shakyamuni Buddha. And he, Sariputra asked again, then, what, in short, what is his teaching? And the teaching is here, you know. One version is, every being comes from its own cause. And when cause is cause is empty. The every being is empty. When the cause is understood to be empty, that is Tao, that is the way. That is the eight, in other words, eight holy paths. He, my teacher, tells us like this. Although I am not quite young and I haven't studied so long, but in short, his teaching is like this. This is one body. And another version is cause and effect is the source of various being. Causality is the source of various being. Therefore, everything has no self nature and empty. And the everything comes out from its proper reason. And Buddha tells us what is the reason. And he told us, he tells us how to destroy the cause of suffering. And this, you know, rendering, this version, very similar to, you know, the Four Noble Truths, and very, very much like Mahayana teaching, which is the teaching of emptiness. Especially this, you know, listener in this case is Shariputra, who has great teacher of the most eminent teacher of Buddha, and who understood his Buddha's teaching more philosophical, profound way. So this rendering is something like, you know, Four Noble Truths, and at the same time something like form of teaching or form of emptiness, and this is form. It should be like this, you know. Hinayana teaching and Mahayana teaching should not be two different teachings. But some of them think this is Hinayana teaching and this is Mahayana teaching. But that is a great mistake. Anyway, he told Anyata, Kaundina, and Asaj, and the other three disciples, this kind of stuff, and this kind of teaching.
Yet, Isn't there an element of this in the teaching, in the way out also, in saying, look, here are the Four Noble Truths, unchanging, true, permanent, this is the way it is. You must accept these.
That's it. When you find out, you know, that kind of teaching which cannot be changed, which is always true, always true. And your desire will be appeased by finding something, you know, which is true and which is universal and which is eternal. In this sense, we say Buddhist teaching is eternal teaching. But it does not mean something which was told is eternal. Something which is told in this sense is eternal. The way he understands things was true, is true, always true. So Buddha himself did not say what I said is always true. Crouch the other day said, that Buddha said, if you go to mountain and find out something, some good place to build building, or like Church Creek or hospital, after you come back to your monastery, you will tell your teacher, here is good place to practice our way. Let's build monastery there. Then many people will go. That is my way, he said. I'm not provided any land. I didn't provide any land like that, any holy place like that. But it was there. I just found it. accidentally, people are very much interested in that place. So that is why I have so many students. He understands in that way. But, what he did not do anything, but teaching was there. Before he told about it, or before he found out. That is his understanding of the teaching. So he didn't stick to his teaching or his being. If he died, he said, there's no need to have a big ceremony. That is why, Buddha had eternal life. He didn't stick to anything, but he stick to one eternal teaching, which give a birth to Buddha. In this way, Buddha's disciples understood him. So that is why Buddhism has perpetual, you know, life. So that what you mean is very true.
Are changing and are different. In to use that metaphor, the place is unchanging.
Metaphor is, you know, he is not the one who provided that.
But then there still is this element of satisfying our need, our desire for something. Something, not a, you know, not a concrete material thing, but something.
Something. Yeah, that's nature, you know. Which is not good or bad. You cannot say even good, you know. If you say it is good, you know, it is almost dying already because you stick to it. You may stick to it. If it is not good or bad, you may not stick to it. This is in the Buddhist understanding.
Right. After you spoke about the Four Noble Truths, you said that there were four other types of suffering. When you were separated from someone you loved, and when you had to live with someone that you didn't like. Where do those teachings come from?
Where?
Yeah.
From where? From Sutta?
Yeah.
It is... this kind of statement is stop word, you may say. You know, in every... In various sutras, in this form, the teaching is repeated.
It says here, they're talking about the Four Noble Truths, that when the creatures in this world delight in low and contemptible pleasures, then the Buddha, who always speaks the truth, indicates pain is the first truth, and desire is the origin of pain, and the third truth is the path is always try unattached to suppress desire. Now, do you think that's a good teaching for us at this time? Always try, unattached, to suppress desire.
That may not be possible. You know, that when we stress, you know, when we encourage, when they encourage us to control our desires, so, you know, and to have good understanding of nature or suffering. They put it in that way. So it is, you know, we call it annihilation. To suppress or annihilate. But it is not so. Metz means annihilate. When you complete annihilate it, it is empty. You know. But that emptiness is not empty. That everything is changing and it has no self nature. So we call it empty. You know. But things, desires are here. But it is not dead, it is working. So as long as it is, it has some past and future, and it is, you know, always acting, this is not, it doesn't exist in the same way. So to see things as it is, as it goes. So desires you have will not exist in the same way. But you, because you think, what shall I do with my desires? You know? That is desires which is not empty, you know, which is not changing. But even though fast, you fall like this, it is changing. So in 1 or 2 years, it will disappear. If you understand in that way, that is true meaning of emptiness. Not get rid of, without getting rid of it, to have proper understanding, it is the way to attain emptiness. That is the teaching of emptiness. So emptiness and to completely cut off or to annihilate is one is more substantial way of expression, or negative way of expression. The other is more, you know, more objective, calm, understanding, so-called to see things as it is. So, if you read this sutta literally, you will not understand it properly. But this sutra is taught in various ways, back and forth. Sometimes this way, and sometimes the other way. That is why this sutra is variable. Not simple sutta. So after all, this could be very artistic or poetic. Some part is not so, but it's ending some big, artistic work.